Tommy, I know your bracket with Duke got busted rather early, not as early as mine with Arizona, but how's the rest of your bracket look?
Awful. Really bad. You know, I was really riding high on Furman. They got through the first round, and then I lost track of the rest of the NCAA tournament. Not good, Greggs. That was the first ever bracket I've done. Lieutenant Eric told me to base my guess on who's going to win on logos because that's the way he does it. It was like 6:20 in the morning. I was very tired, and so my bracket was busted early. I did get a couple of good ones, a couple of upsets, but then my other picks were probably just junk.
So you don't even know what your picks are, do you?
Not anymore. No, I lost track.
All right. Devin Shore not on the ice this morning, which has the German fans upset. They love singing the song, Devin Shore. It's quite funny, actually. But Oder's going 11-7, you know, if he's not ready, which not a big deal. I look at this Arizona Coyote roster, man, and I give them a boatload of credit. The fact that with this roster, they've managed to go 6-1-2 in the month of March, or in their last 9 games, is very impressive, because this defense core, like, if you're McDavid and the Oilers, which is the number one offense in the NHL, like, they got to be frothing at the mouth tonight.
I would think so. I mean, and credit to the Coyotes, before they lost last night in Winnipeg, they rattled off 4 straight wins as well. And this is a team that is expected to be near the bottom of the standings. That's exactly where they are. It's a hodgepodge, mishmash lineup. They were sellers at the deadline. We're watching Nick Bjugstad tonight face his old team. Yeah, so you talk about the D pairings. Let's go through them here. You got Juuso Välimäki paired up with Michael Kesselring, former Oiler prospect, right? Patrick Nemeth with J.J. Moser. Some people are probably going, who are those guys? And then the third pairing is Connor Mackey with Victor Soderstrom. So not a star-studded back end. I know Karel Vejmelka has been a workhorse for this team all season long. He's probably helped tilt the ice and get them a couple of wins that they probably shouldn't have had. But that's beside the point. The Oilers need to go in here with the big dogs and looking at this blue line, considering the fact that this Arizona team played yesterday. Go in there, take care of business. Do not do what you did on Monday. Don't let the Coyotes hang around. Don't let them build confidence during the game. Don't let them think that they have a chance. Iron out the mistakes and the deficiencies in your game for the Oilers, especially after the last two where we saw a lot of sloppy play defensively. And just go at the Coyotes, take these 2 points, and then do some good things. Get yourself into some good habits going into Saturday's game. So, Greggs, you know what? This Coyotes team is probably playing loose. Nothing to lose. That's probably what's led to the recent success, that underdog mentality. But you're in a perfect situation from an Oilers standpoint tonight to go after them and take advantage, and that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I don't – like, I'll be floored if the Oilers don't win this game tonight. I'll be absolutely floored. Stuart Skinner starting in net. Although they did, I know, allow 4 goals against Seattle, so they obviously have to be a little bit better defensively. But Arizona played last night. Arizona, you know, like, they've had this Cinderella run, Tom, but they're just, like, look at their defense core, man. Like, Patrick Nemeth and Moser is their top pair. You got Välimäki and Kesselring on the second pair. Then you got Mackey and Soderstrom on your third pair. That's 3 defensemen with a grand total of 72 NHL games. And Välimäki doesn't have a whole bunch under his belt either. Like, this is, you know, and it's not just the Oilers' top line. Like, look, last game, they scored 5 goals against the Sharks. McDavid and Draisaitl didn't score either one of them. Or Nugent Hopkins or Hyman. Like, none of their top 4 score, and they still score 5. Like, they got a lot of depth right now. They got a lot of guys going. The Oilers' defense has 33 points in their last 10 games combined, which has moved them up now to 9th place. Like, everybody's feeling good about their offensive confidence. And, you know, I could see a spanking tonight by the Oilers.
I think a lot of people would like to see a spanking tonight by the Oilers. I have been thoroughly impressed by Matthias Ekholm. I met him today finally because I was doing the morning show last week. I didn't have a chance to chat with him. Greggs, that's not a man. That's a Viking. And the fact that he's plus 15 in the 10 games that he's played is incredible. The 2-goal performance the other night. The deep slap shot top Ched was impressive. a lot of things are clicking for this Oilers group. I like that you bring up the depth guys getting goals and getting production there. Warren Fogle's been really good when he has been elevated. We could see, because he was skating with Yamamoto and Draisaitl this morning, we could see him in a top six role again. And he's earned it. He's played very well. When he's not producing offense, he's generally doing the right things, making the right plays, winning board battles, limiting mistakes in his own zone. He hasn't been perfect, but it's nice to see. He's really turned a corner, I think, after he had those healthy scratches. And this team has a lot of good going for it. But again, deficiencies that have continued to haunt it all season long. PK, which has gotten better, has had its moments still where it's been spotty. And then defensive zone at both blue lines, like we saw the other night. There's a lot to like about the Oilers game, but there are little things here and there that need to be cleaned up. Jay Woodcroft re-emphasized that today. Perfect opportunity tonight. Golden opportunity to make that happen.
Tom Gazzola joins him. The Sports Leader, TSN 1260. And, Tommy, a few other quick things looking at the sporting world. But did you see the minor tweak that they're making for the pitching rules already? What do you think?
Yeah, just some minor adjustments. Like a memo went out to MLB clubs, I think it was last night. And so we're watching the pitch clock. And, you know, Greg, you and I were talking about that Wilson Contreras strikeout where he wasn't set by the 8-second mark and he was given a third strike and he didn't even complain. That was a harsh lesson. But there are situations now where there's going to be a little bit of leniency. Like if the pitcher is away from the mound to cover first base or back up at home plate, they're going to give them a little bit of extra time. Like I think they're going to push it to around 30 seconds. Catchers who are on base or at bat at the end of an inning, there's going to be leniency there to them. Also, you know, they have the little code that they punch in, the catchers do to the pitchers. If that's malfunctioning, the catcher has to call time and notify the umpire that, hey, this talkback thing is not working, just to let you know, and then they'll give them leniency. The other one that's kind of interesting, too, is that they're going to enforce new standards for bat boys and bat girls. So the bat boys and bat girls, like sometimes, you know, some are quicker than others, some are younger than others, some are more experienced than others. But now there's going to be more of an onus and a higher bar set for bat boys and bat girls that if they're not up to snuff, they're not getting equipment out of the batter's box quick enough and bats and all that, then they're going to need to replace them. And I thought that was kind of harsh, but at the same time, kind of funny. So, yeah, the pitch calm thing, the bat boys and bat girls, whether or not the pitchers are covering at first or at home plate, catchers coming out of innings if they're at bat or on base. So just common sense things, but already we've seen a 25-minute reduction in games. So I think this is a good thing overall. But there's a little bit of give and take here and some leeway, and I think these amendments are understandable.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, the bad boy, bad girl issue. I understand. Hey, you got to be quick. Right? No lollygagging. You lollygag to first base. You lollygag to second base. Oh, such a classic. Anybody who watched Major League knows what I'm talking about. Oh, no, that was Bull Durham. Sorry, that was Bull Durham. I love it. And what's unique, Tom, about the Ohtani, and going back to Ohtani and Trout, you sent me a note about from Codify Baseball, had tweeted this out last night, that Mike Trout has had 6,174 plate appearances. He has only 24 times in his career had three swinging strikes in the same at bat. And that's what he had last night. Oh, he swung every time and missed on those three pitches. Like, that just doesn't happen very often.
0.39% of his plate appearances. That is such a minute number. And listen, like that moment was so cool. You saw Trout kind of give Ohtani the wink and the nod, like, all right, mano y mano. We're teammates 162 games a year, but tonight it's going down. USA, Japan, final out. And yeah, Ohtani, the pitches over 100 miles an hour, the slider that got him, Trout going, you know, swinging for the fence is just an absolutely incredible moment. And I'll reemphasize what Connor had said earlier is it would be great to see those two actually play together in meaningful games in September, October, maybe even into November. But the Angels just have not been able to figure it out. But that moment yesterday, best on best, amazing, and just so cool. But yeah, 0.39% of his plate appearances, he's had a 3 swinging strikeout. Incredible.
Crazy stuff, Tommy. Tommy, have yourself a great day. And pregame show, go have a nap because you're on at 7 o'clock right up until the 8:52 puck drop tonight.
That was another thing Ekholm was telling me about. He's like, can you believe this? I'm like, dude, you don't have to be on the air at 8:52 and then go off the air at midnight tonight. So,
yeah, but Ekholm should be used to it. In the Central Division, their playoff games always started that time.
Well, yeah, but I just thought it was funny that that was the first thing he said to me, and I was like, yeah it's going to be a late one. But everybody, be happy about the 8:52 start tonight.
Tommy, we'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
You too.